Two. Your mic's off too, George. Here, I'll put this over here, Danny.
Let's see now. Where am I? I got that. In your crafts.
Yeah, Danny likes to talk.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All righty, ready, George?
This room is quiet.
Your crafts.
All righty.
Unless you both
sleep
before
Oh, yes. Close. Ready, George? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's Derby Board of Education meeting. We appreciate you coming out, spending some time with us. However, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
All righty, here we go. Two, there you go. Two for the price of two.
Where you want?
No.
Is Melissa
anybody
on?
Online?
Yes, she is.
Nobody.
Jen's not here?
No.
Jen is, I think she may sign in later, but today's a holy massive obligation.
6 o'clock.
There you go. So she should be out of here by 7:15.
Yeah, we're having a cake and
everything.
The priest's
birthday. Okay. Sure. All right. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Jim Galilei.
Here.
Dan Foley. I'm here. Jen Caruso. We'll sign in later. Melissa Mangiello.
Here.
Beautiful. Laura Harris.
Here.
Melissa Cannata.
Here.
Ken Marcuccio.
Here.
And Rebecca O'Hara. Here.
All righty. Let the record reflect, we have 8 of 9 members. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda, Mr. Secretary? Looks like there's a 9.
Is that right, Doc?
We moved 9, right?
As an add.
As an add.
Add number 9.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, resignation.
Certified to add item number 9. Is there a second? Foley, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Any other additions, deletions, or corrections? Anyone from the public? Remote? Is anyone there remote from the public? Anyone remotely from the public who wishes to speak before the Board of Education this evening? Going once. Leah Luddington, you want to say quick hi while you're there? Just joking. Going hi. Twice. There you go. Thank you, Leah. And going 3 times. Anyone from the public remote? All righty. Here we are in person. Anyone from the public wishes to speak before the Board of Education? Going once. Twice. 3 times. Seeing no one from the public who wishes to speak before the Board of Education, we will move on to item number 3, 2023 United States Presidential Scholar Program speakers. Ms. Olson?
Yes.
Ms. Olson.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I am very excited to be able to present to you tonight 3 really outstanding students We are participating this year in the U.S. Presidential Scholars Program. And that program, just a little background for everyone, helps recognize students who have demonstrated really academic excellence in broad academic components and across career and technical education. In Connecticut right now, the Commissioner of Education has asked all school districts to be able to identify one male and one female for the academic component and identify one student for the career and technical component. All of those applications are being received during the month of November, and the commissioner will be tasked with selecting 10 total male applications and 10 total female applications for the state of Connecticut to advance nationally, and then a total of 5 candidates for the career and technical. That process will unfold really over the next several months, and by January, our candidates that are here tonight that we will present to you will know their status in the process. The past 2 years, we have been fortunate. Derby has been well represented, not only at the state level, but has moved on nationally as well. And we have a very strong group of candidates this evening. So we're very hopeful for their progress. Students in this component are rated on their involvement, service, academic leadership and character, and their achievements. It requires recommendations from their teachers, their school counselors, and we are very ready for that process to begin. Mr. Kaplan's going to join me as we begin to introduce to you this evening's candidates.
So our first candidate is for the career and technical category. It is Josiah Hunter, who it's going to take me a while to read some of Josiah's accolades. He has served as spokesperson on behalf of DHS and HCC, discussing the program highlights, quality of instruction, and the networking opportunities afforded through the partnership. Consistently had one of the highest overall grades in the advanced manufacturing program, receives very high praise, admiration, and confident recommendations from all of his seasoned instructors as to the promising career he will have in the industry. Recently attended the CT Manufacturing Day at Housatonic, where students saw firsthand the high-tech and innovative work environments that await them in the future. He was selected to be a participant in the Manufacture CT annual celebration this past fall. He is an active recruiter and mentor for the program, inspiring new students to come aboard. He has worked as a qualified lab assistant, providing guidance for other peers, and he balances a course load with early college and honors classes while outside of school, actively volunteering at his local Derby community. Very proud of Josiah and all of his accomplishments thus far. Looking forward to what he's going to do in the future.
It's actually a family affair with the Advanced Manufacturing Program. Josiah's dad is one of the new instructor with the program and has really contributed greatly to Derby High School's programming. So that's Josiah. So congratulations to Josiah. The next candidate that I want to introduce to you is a student who came to Derby Public Schools their entire career, been here since kindergarten. Is Brennan Fitch. So Brennan is ranked 5th in the class of 2023. He has a 4.17 GPA. He's the top ranked male in the class. He's maintained high honor status throughout his entire academic career. He's had a rigorous course load, at high honors, honors advanced placement, dual enrollment, and really has a very strong work ethic and a value on education. Brennan is an active member of both National Honor Society and also our student council, four-year varsity soccer player. He helped lead a car wash that was really successful in the Valley Goes Pink Breast Cancer Awareness Program. His academic distinctions, in addition to the honor roll, he's been all NBL copper for soccer. He's been a part of the not only just as a student or an athlete, country, but his contribution to the community. Brennan is a volunteer junior firefighter. He works closely with the Hotchkiss Hose Company number one. He's been part of that program, and he also has an active role in work, serving youth as a counselor, as a lifeguard, and holds certifications in first aid, CPR, and waterfront safety. So super proud of Brennan and all of his work, and much luck to you. So congratulations.
Our next candidate is our very own Dorothy Nguyen. Dorothy is another 13-year vet, starting with us in kindergarten at Philly Public Schools, currently ranked number 3 in the class of 2023 with a 4.46 GPA, definitely maintaining high honor status throughout her high school career. Rigorous honors, AP, dual enrollment, shows that she's a very hard worker and places a high value on education. An active member in the National Honor Society, the Spanish Honor Society as president, Student Council, Tri-M Music Honor Society as the vice president, the United Way Youth Leadership Program, a member of the softball team last year, and also a member of the indoor and outdoor track teams last year and expected to be this year. She volunteers at the Derby Neck Library. Every student council event that we have, past few Derby citywide cleanups, and our bow ties and diamonds fashion show that our former school president put on 2 years ago. She serves as an onboard mentor, welcoming in new freshmen from the 8th grade. And she is also bilingual in Vietnamese and English. A very accomplished musician as well. So congratulations, Dorothy.
And just before I close, a joint comment that I would make about both Brennan and Dorothy is, you know, the track to get identified as a U.S. Presidential Scholar comes not only from a recommendation from the school and state level, but students can also be recognized for their high achievement on their SAT scores. And both Dorothy and Brennan have done exceptionally well in those areas. So we're very proud of them at their level, ranked here in Derby, but also ranked nationally as well. So congratulations.
So we're going to call you up here in a second, I'm sure, to take pictures. But before I do, I just want to say on behalf of the Derby Board of Education that certainly we're very proud of you and congratulate you. It's kind of neat to hear things like coach, mentor, community service, giving back to your community. You know, you're seniors in high school, and to have that ingrained into you just speaks to your caliber, your character, your morals, and just who you are. Your accomplishments are phenomenal. You're outstanding role models for not only this, in my opinion, Derby students, but for any high school student. So we're very proud of you. We're so glad that you've accomplished what you accomplished, and we thank you for being exemplary students of the Derby school system. Thank you.
And here's the picture we're talking about.
You're trying to fit everybody in.
George can't take that picture.
You're fired.
I'm
gonna do it that way.
Yeah.
Wait.
You know me. Everybody, look here.
You guys want to take a picture?
Yeah, come on.
Everybody, come on in the picture.
I thought they wanted to.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, right. There we go. Right. Danby's mom wants to take a picture. Now, one group picture.
All right, there we go.
All right, let's do Mr. Kaplan first.
Kaplan first.
All right. Whose phone do I have?
All righty. Very nice. Brennan, Waterbury's only, 32 minutes away. There you go. You 20 minutes away. I'm sorry. All righty. Item. Thank you again, everybody. Hope you have a lovely evening. All righty. Item number 4, staff recognition, Dr. Conway.
Ask Principal Olson to rejoin us.
Bye. Bye. Congratulations. Bye. Congratulations. Bye. There goes the public. Hi.
Good night. Take care. All right, so tonight we had the chance to recognize students, but we're really excited to also be able to recognize our colleagues and other administrators. So each year, the Connecticut Association of Schools seeks nominations for the Assistant Principal of the Year candidates for the high school and middle school level. Rachel and I had an opportunity to have a conversation, and as we reviewed what the criteria was for the Connecticut Association of Schools, looking for leaders that demonstrate culture with student-centeredness, a focus on wellness, a focus on equity, learning results orientation, also looking for collaborative leadership, and finally, innovation. We were really pleased to know that we have some of the most exceptional partners that we can be able to lead with in our building. I will speak for myself. I was thrilled to be able to make a nomination for Mr. Ray Coughlin as the 2023 Connecticut Association of School High School Assistant Principal of the Year. Ray, I would just say leading with him every day has been a real honor and privilege for me. As we work together each day, you know, there's a lot that goes into running a high school, and we've had the ability to really shape some exciting programs together. Much of it is because of the legwork and foresight that Ray has from his background as a school counselor. He is an amazing relationship builder and has really come up with programs that help keep kids on the right track academically, engaged in the school socially, and supported emotionally. So we are really thrilled to be able to have Ray represented here from Derby High School, and we know that his application will be able to stand out amongst all the others in the state. So congratulations, Ray. And submitted on time.
So similarly to Ms. Olson, I had the honor of nominating Ms. Cortiano. She really is a dynamic partner And I will say friend, alongside that, it's an honor to work with her every single day. Her ability to kind of take what she does with the kids and her academic focus and just be able to transfer that in so many different facets is outstanding. The best part of all of this is they actually have work to do. So I didn't realize that when we nominated them, they immediately get like an email like, hey, you've been nominated. Like, here's all the work you have to do. So they have to like fill out all these surveys, do all this work. Tracy's like, what did you do? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was all of that work. So Ray and Tracy are on the phone quite often now, like, what are you putting for this? So they have to get like kids to fill out questionnaires about them and parents, and we have to fill out things. So there is a lot of work for them as well to be nominated and to receive this award. So we are super excited to nominate them, but they have to put in a lot of legwork now to win this honor. So they're both working really hard to submit their applications on time, but they're both super deserving of it. And we're really hoping that we will get a winner for Derby Public Schools out of it, because both of them really have a good shot to win it for us. So.
Their application, once they're received, the next step in the process is a committee will review all of the applications. They'll select finalists, to be able to come out and do site visits at the school. When they come to the site visits at the school, that would be an opportunity that focus groups would be put together for teacher focus groups, parents, students, and community members as well. So
and then if they won the state, they can go nationally. It could be a lot of fun. So
so we're at the beginning phase of the process, but
and then a parade, Laura. We're thinking, all I'm thinking about is the parade. No.
I would like to just say again, on behalf of the Board of Education, we wish you luck. And just, you know, as someone who's had children go through both schools, I've seen up close how you connect with kids, the relationships that you build, the great partners you are with the people you work with. So again, best of luck. All righty. Item number 5, Board of Education.
4C.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
He's online right there.
Sorry, Mr. Carlson. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Tonight is a night, like Dr. Conway said, to recognize staff as well. So Mr. Spencer Carlson is 7th grade. There he is, waving. Like, his kids are probably somewhere running around. And his wife somewhere, he did say he was going to...
They're taking a bath right now. So
bath time.
Yeah, we got a little reprieve.
We missed it. So Mr. Carlson is our 7th grade team leader here. He is a science teacher school. And Mr. Carlson, I had the opportunity to nominate him for the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching. This is the highest recognition that a kindergarten through 12th grade science, technology, engineering, and or mathematics teacher can receive for outstanding teaching in the United States. Each year, up to 108 teachers get recognized. The presidential awardees have an opportunity to receive a certificate signed by the President of the United States, the possibility to win a trip to Washington, D.C., to attend recognition events, and possibly get a $10,000 award from the National Science Foundation. Awardees join an active network of outstanding educators from across the nation. This organization began in 1983. For anyone keeping track at home, I wasn't born yet. Spencer, I'm laughing. I said Spencer's before I was born. That's how old this organization is.
83.
Yeah. Wasn't born yet, Jim.
I was born too.
Really?
I was. Let's get my driver's license.
I wasn't either.
See? Melissa and I weren't born. So far, there's more than 5,200 teachers that have been recognized for their contributions in the classroom and their profession. The awardees serve as models to their colleagues and inspirations to their communities, and that describes Mr. Carlson to a T. This recognition also comes with an application process. So Mr. Carlson is in the process of applying as well. Teachers selected to win this presidential recognition. So we are wishing him the best of luck, but in our eyes, he has already won. Mr. Carlson goes above and beyond here at Derby Middle School. As I said, he is the team leader. He definitely strives to push the envelope in his classroom. He's constantly helping the other teachers in the school. He loves this program we have called Formative. He's trying to help other teachers grow consistently. And for that, we wanted to recognize him in his all of his work here. So congratulations, Mr. Carlson.
Congratulations, Spencer. And again, best of luck. We hope you do well. And again, having had children go up through the school system, you do an amazing job. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you. And I look forward to representing Derby Public School Systems and hopefully bringing home an award.
All right. Best of luck.
All right.
Number six, administrative.
Five.
I know. I was being humble. Item number five. Who's talking now?
Once again, due to the incredible contributions, commitments, dedication, relentless pursuit of excellence for our kids and our staff, our family members, this board once again received the Excellence in Education and Communication Awards, as well as the Excellence in Education and Communications Honorable Mention, as well as the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education Board of Distinction Award. I can't tell you how much this means across the state. A director of various seven is certainly very much aware of and involved in these awards, but it's recognition of all other boards across the state of what you're doing as collectively as well as individually, yourselves professionally, but how you're supporting the districts, our teachers, our parents, myself, in what we're pursuing on a day-to-day. Without your input, we don't grow. Moving forward, Connecticut Association of Boards of Education, and our own organization of CAPS. I can't thank you enough for this support and dedication. And these recognitions are just a tip of the iceberg to you for what you're doing.
So thank you very much. George, I just want to say some
first. Yeah, so as your Area 7 director here on the Connecticut Board of Education, I'm honored to serve with everybody for the last few years. And it's an honor and a privilege. And when I go to the CABE meetings, you always talk about how things in Derby are progressing and how everything work as a team and everything. So on behalf of myself and Kate, congratulate the board that I serve in.
Very nice. We'll let George's comments stand. Very nice, George. Thank you. Very nice. All righty. Item number six. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Before we go into executive session to go over the appointment list and resignation, we'll take this opportunity to wish Stacy McCourt and Jennifer Olson a happy birthday and let them know that we have cake in their honor. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. Cut the cake. We'll have a cake, a piece of cake, then we'll
we're going to executive.
Somebody will leave.
Okay. Who's going to cut the cake? So this is the birthday, you have the honor.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I got candy for you. Oh, thank you. A little trick or treat, huh? A little leftover candy.
Oh, really?
Took the greatest ones out last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, they claim I don't have it, but I keep it.
Trick-or-treaters? No? Survive. Ken, do you have any trick-or-treaters? Do you have any trick-or-treaters? I had eight.
Yep.
I had eight. I called my son up out in Oregon. 125.
Who's leaving? Up for them. We're only going to be 2 minutes.
I can ask them.
She said that. Okay. Thank you. And extra coffee. Show me that. Okay.
No kids here.
No.
One resignation. We're coming back from the superintendent one. Yeah. I thought we'd go to the office for more private.
So the superintendent? Yeah, but so after we finish that, to give the reports, are you going to let them do their reports? And then they'll leave. Yeah, they'll be gone. Okay. But are we going to leave now?
I'm hoping to be. Yeah, I'm hoping to back by 7:45. Do that for a half hour, 45 minutes. Yeah. Just going to go over it.
For a cocktail. For your birthday.
There you go. Yeah. We'll be quick.
The agenda. My wife went to noon. She's going to get out for 1. Oh, tonight they're having the thing. 6 to 7.
Give me candy. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll only be like 5 minutes, Marianne. Okay, so you're waiting. George.
Well, okay.
No, you're good. I'm glad.
All right.
Well, George made a motion. What time is it? George Kurtica made a motion at 7:10 to go to executive session for the purposes of appointment list and
the superintendent schools
invited to attend. Second by Melissa Cannata. I'll call Melissa Mangillo. 7:10, I think. Stuff is good.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Melissa Mangillo. I'll check the Zoom real quick.
If there is, give me some more.
That's the first time a cake ever went. Okay. Except for one small piece. Guess so. Can you hear me through the computer or from my phone? All right. George, they were in. They weren't. I'm sorry.
Oh, you ready? Do it again.
The papers are. I might not announce the after-school stuff.
I don't care.
Now, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Because, what do you want to do, George? You up.
All right. We're back, Doc?
We are back.
All right. The Board of Education is only going to approve the hair cheerleading position at this time. We're tabling the after-school position to our November 15th meeting.
That's the motion.
That's the motion.
A motion has been made. Did you approve? Did you set the cheerleading coach?
Yeah. I will second the motion.
Okay, so a motion to appoint Coy Bartone as cheerleading coach has been made by Ms. Kurtica, second by Ms. Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. With one abstention.
One abstention.
Rebecca didn't want to vote yes for you. I don't want to tell you for it.
No. So thank you. Introduce someone that you guys obviously know who bleeds Derby red, Corey Bartone, as our next head cheerleading coach. Number of things that came through just talking with her, even leading into the interview process, is which I thought was kind of cool for me learning about Corey. This is actually something that she's aspired to do for a long time. 31 years involved in Derby Pop Warner cheer at all levels, 8 years. Including as coordinator, if I believe I'm correct, you're the one that actually took the Derby Pop Warner down to Florida for the first time for nationals back in the day as well. So a lot of ties to Derby Pop Warner, a lot of things that we've talked about in terms of growing the program and the connectivity and things like that as well. So I know we announced to the cheerleading squad at practice today that this nomination was moving forward at the board tonight as well. And they were excited. So Corey, welcome into the athletics family and bringing another part of you to Derby High School. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the board, for 31 years, so you started when you were five. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. But it's certainly, this is so cool. Really long time, forever Derby person.
Well, I actually started in second grade. I'm a cheerleader.
Forever, forever Derby resident. From an iconic Derby family. So that's so cool. Congratulations. Oh, picture.
Picture.
Mrs. Bissett, photographer, not paying attention.
I'm good.
Amy,
I'm good.
Hey, Amy, there's only four.
His pocket, probably.
Ready? Ready?
I probably have a pocket. No, when he's like, Yeah. Did you ever hear the story? One of the guys.
Congratulations, Corey.
All right. All righty.
Where's that Knight and Grocery?
Item.
The teacher.
Oh, we got to do the resignation.
And he came for an interview with Mario, and Mario was like, "Hi, I'm the president." He has like a bad record. Mario pulls me after.
Item number 9, the Board of Education accepts the resignation of Melinda Swift, Human Resources Manager, effective November 29,
2022. Motion is made. Sorry, George. Motion is made. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Trolley, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Derby Middle School admin report.
I was going to make it funny and say I was told questions only tonight. All in favor? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Is your report on file?
Okay.
It's good enough for me.
George usually says. Of course. I'm just teasing. You know, I was trying to go with George's, you know, George's preference. So just wanted to share a couple of things that we've been busy with. You will see we will be back to present a group of staff. We have about 10 staff members right now. It is 10, not about. Who are engaged in coursework at Harvard. So there are 10 of us. It is the team leaders, as well as the administrative team, who are taking asynchronous coursework at Harvard, and we're having a blast doing it. We are really enjoying the class. We have homework assignments due on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and one would think like this is hard work outside of school, but we're really enjoying it. There is text groups going on late at night, and everyone really learning from each other. A lot of conversations are happening. I now have other staff members saying, hey, can I get in that course? The next one you do. This is all courtesy of the Commissioner's Network grant for us to be able to do this additional professional development with our staff. Tracy and I are part of it, which has been fun.
So, only for the points. Only for the
points. Tracy's in it for the points.
You're a point. Every module,
yeah.
I need my points.
But it's a really good time. Everyone's getting shirts that say we're currently at Harvard. So it's a big deal. But so you have Mr. Carlson is in it with us. Missy Ann Roman is in it with us. We have Mr. Dyden, Miss Donovan, Miss Wozelneck, Miss Russo, Mr. Nuzzo, Miss Cortiano, myself, and Dr. Rafferty. There's about 108 people in the course from all over the country. And there's several people from the state of Connecticut in it. So it's been a lot of fun. We are the largest group. There's like other smaller groups, but we are the largest kind of group. And it's been a blast kind of working through. What's awesome is that it's aligning perfectly with the work we're doing as a school. And that we thought it would align, but it has aligned great. So that's been really a lot of fun for us. Additionally, you guys had saw we got that wonderful wood carving. I don't know if you've noticed the wood carving in my lobby there or the article, but we got the outstanding carving a couple weeks ago. The kids were super excited when it came. So Jesse Green carved that for the school. So we are excited to have people back doing those kinds of presentations for us. And Mr. Nichols and Tag will likely speak about it. But Ms. Harris had an opportunity to come and see our Best Buddies program again. And that really has kind of doubled for us this year. So we'd like and we would invite anyone to come and see it. The kids have multiple events that happen throughout kind of the day, as well as night events. And our kids, it's really been a great thing for us and really the glue, I think, that has really helped here at Derby Middle School. With the acceptance piece for our kids and just seeing kind of people for who they are and helping each other. And that's really been great for us this school year. And that's huge. It's a huge group of kids. So we have that actively running for us. Student Council's up and running. I saw a bunch of retweets for our Thanksgiving food drive is up and kicking. So the kids were busy putting baskets out to start collecting for that. So if you're interested in donating any food products, we will do that again. Last year, we delivered 25 baskets to the community. So hoping to every year do more and more baskets for any family in need here in the community so that everyone can have a great Thanksgiving and holiday season. So that's it. November will be over like that, we said. This is the only full week of school. in November, this week, for November. So before we know it, December will be here.
So let us know when graduation is up on Boston. We'll go up there.
So we don't get to go there, George, but we are hoping to plan a bus trip. Hopefully you can drive us up there and show us some great spots to eat around Harvard. But yes, ideally we'd like to take a weekend trip up there at some point because, you know, we don't, it's all asynchronous. We don't get to be there, but the videos are on campus. We have joked about like how cool it looks, the campus, but we're not there. So maybe we will get a Sunday trip. And if we do, George, you're more than welcome to join us.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. You know, the closest
ever got to Harvard. Can I ask a question about the food drive?
Yes.
Do you have like a list of what is needed?
For sure. So each homeroom has like different food things, and I can print you off that list.
Okay. Right. Close 7 minutes of Harvard was the Harvard Yale game, New Haven.
Harvard Yale game? Still counts, George.
Yeah. Irving School. How are you, Mr.?
I am well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'll just highlight a few things. Under academics, I know you've heard a little bit from Dr. Rafferty and maybe Dr. Conway about us being part of the first cohort for the Science of Reading Masterclass. We are working with East Haven and Stratford. We will be visiting East Haven on Thursday afternoon and looking at SRBI, response to intervention. It was a problem of practice that East Haven has proposed. We're all gonna be sharing the different things we do in our district and collaborating, excited about that. And then we will be hosting some of the members from the state cohort for walkthroughs, literacy walkthroughs at Irving in the middle of the month, later in the month at Bradley. So we're very excited to show off the hard work that our teachers and coaches have been doing and the progress that our students are making. October was a very busy month, climate and culture wise. If you follow Twitter, you see all the different events we have, starting with Safe Kids at the beginning of the month, different community meeting, some performers. And today we had one of our first kind of bring parents back into the building events. We used to do books and bagels. The coaches collaborated and did, it's actually a culture of learning committee. It was books, bagels, and base 10 blocks. There's some pictures on Twitter. We had over 30 families show up this morning. All the students get to leave with a book. They chose juicy vocabulary words to share with their families, and they played games with base 10 blocks and giant foam dice, ate bagels, had a great time. And the parents were so happy to be back in the building. We do have our second PTO meeting of the year next or tomorrow. We expect more families than we had last time. We're going to be planning a PTO turkey bingo event in Thanksgiving. And the other thing I wanted to highlight was our kind of reinvigorated approach to or partnership with Derby Library across the street, with Holly Smith taking over this kind of STEM / library media position. Once a month, every class walks over to the library. Sue Sherman has worked very closely with Holly to get every child a library card. At the beginning of the school year, 11% of our students had a library card. As of this weekend, 88% of our students have a library card, and they are still working on the last 12% of students so that every Irving student will have their own library card that they can use. So just thought that was a great number and a nice little thing to share out. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes. When's the next community meeting for Irving School?
Community meeting. So we have a performance Wednesday, the 16th, I think, whatever the second Wednesday is. I think it's Tanglewood Marionettes. And then our community meeting where we'll be doing the VIP and all the golden awards. And also this month is a ruler focus on gratitude for Thanksgiving. That will be November 30th. It's the Wednesday after Thanksgiving.
And how about the food pantry? Any update on the food pantry for Irving School?
Food pantry, we're going to work with the PTO to get that up and running. We have the grant money to get it started. We're looking for people to help us run it. So we had our first PTO meeting last month. We had four families attend. We have three more families in addition that are planning on attending tomorrow. And they also asked for a Zoom link option. So we have a few other families that have indicated that they want to help but can't come to the meetings, but would like to Zoom in and be able to then volunteer for other events.
Just one comment. As a member of the board of directors at the Derby Public Library, we were very impressed with you and your staff. And I want to highly commend you for a great job that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of that commendation goes to Holly Smith. She's very excited about getting the kids doing STEM and at the library, getting their hands into the books and having that power for themselves.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
Where would we go to see the district literacy planning, A3? Is that online?
I don't believe it's on the website as of yet. It is a draft. I will let Dr. Rafferty know that we would like to share it out, okay, that you'd be interested in seeing it. Yes, it's so as part of this master class, we had to submit a plan for specifically for K to three. But I know as a group, we've been talking about how that will obviously transfer up into the other grades. But the initial plan we had to submit was for K to three, science of reading.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Chicarini.
Yeah. How's everybody doing this evening?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. So for the month of October, I just want to highlight our STEM-related activities. We had a very busy October. October 6th, we partnered with JA to do a rocket launch with our fifth graders. It was featured in the Valley Indy. Hopefully you guys had a chance to see that. We have a partnership with the Children's Museum of Connecticut, and they come and they do presentations with different classes and grade levels. On October 12th, they visited kindergarten and third grade to do animal adaptations. On the 19th, they visited second and fourth grade to do lessons on Connecticut wildlife. They actually brought real animals with them. On the 24th, they visited first grade weather, and on the 26th, they visited fifth grade, and they brought their mobile star lab, this big inflatable kind of astronomy system, and the kids go inside. It looks like a giant black igloo. And then on the 25th, third grade, Ms. Masanti, Mrs. Olenowski had reached out to Sam Cantrell from TNH, and he visited the school and did a unit on weather with the third graders. And you may have noticed that we have four new additions to the Bradley School family, four chicks. Four of our seven eggs did hatch. One of the chicks is yellow. His name is Chicken Nugget. I didn't name him. The kids did. So the kids are visiting with them. I'm glad he doesn't understand English. I feel bad for this poor bird. I thought it was funny. I'm not going to lie. Kids are creative. So he's yellow. What do you want? So they're going to come and pick up the chicks next Wednesday, the 9th. But in the meantime, all the kids have an opportunity to kind of hold the chicks carefully and play with them and watch them grow. So it's been a very successful, program. And a shout out to Mrs. Smith at Irving School, who spoke to Ms. Hill, our STEM teacher, and gave her the idea. And then we were able to get them for at least the first couple months. So that is what happened in STEM in October. Does anybody have any questions about that or anything else? Yeah, it's good. They talk all the time just to see what each other is doing. Even though our models are slightly different, they do a lot of similar activities, which is nice.
Any questions?
No.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
How are you?
So naturally, LRU had a phenomenal month. We just had a lot of fun doing all the fall activities, but we were welcomed to the assembly that Jen and Ray put on. The kids absolutely loved the music and the poetry. It was just amazing. They had their first pep rally, which was the thrill of the month. For Harvest Fund, we went through the high school with a parade and all the students, some of them dressed up, some of them didn't, but the teachers passed out candies and treats, and that was amazing. Then we had a big old party at LRU, and then to end the day, 15 parents did trunk or treat, and they decorated their cars in the high school, and they decorated their cars, but they also got dressed up as well and brought their little children. It was amazing. Some of the cars were playing music, and it just was a great way to end October. Question? You're welcome.
Good evening. So a lot of our work this month has really been supporting and growing teacher practice, as well as we support teachers and providers as we transition to the new IEP and the new state reporting system. I think overall as a district, it's going smoother than other districts in the state. I think a lot of it has to do with us continuing the IEP direct program that we had last year and making it a gradual transition. But you know, there are some glitches in the system and we're problem solving that. And the overall response has been positive compared to what some of the other districts in the state are experiencing. So James and I are just here supporting the teachers through there as we go through our PPTs and then transition into that new IEP. So really looking to support both teachers and paras and growing their practice. I'm looking to get some para PD set up in the next couple of months, as well as in dealing with challenging behaviors and social emotional learning.
And then just from my perspective, not necessarily special education related, but just a continuation from what John Sack, you had shared last month, working on in response to crises, finalizing really the last piece of the puzzle for us. I think of it as almost like an action tree, right? So in this circumstance, these are the key players. This is the response. This is the timeline and contact information for all. So John and I had finalized that in a meeting maybe 2 weeks ago at this point. So that is set and ready to go. And the other piece is just the lift of getting our school-based counseling curriculum into classrooms, working with Dr. DeVos at Southern. We've met with him three times now, Anat Siegel, Brian Nutcher, and I, just to outline really the parameters of the three areas, the academic growth and development, career development and understanding, and social emotional learning, and how we're incorporating that into the needs of our school and our students. So just something to highlight for you all, the work being done on Brian and Anat. That's all I want to share.
Not to put anybody on the spot here, but obviously our special education costs have jumped significantly.
Yes, sir.
Significantly.
Uh-huh.
Is there any opportunities that we have to do more insourcing to offset the total of $1 billion of special education costs? And certainly I'm a huge advocate for providing the proper appropriate education for people need it. But is there any retention chance?
Jim, can you talk into the mic for us, please?
I was just thank you. I was just asking, I was referencing the significant special education increase we had this year. And I was just asking if there was an opportunity to insource and still provide us the same level of education.
So we actually just met with Robbie last week to really kind of dive into exactly what you're saying, opportunities for us to look differently and think differently about our programs and what we have to offer students that may be placed out of district at the time. The notion here is we may be able to, at times, bring students back. And I think Stacy and I are thoughtful in going through that process. It's a balance between making sure that the student is properly supported. It's a balance between making sure parents are working in partnership with the district. And it's assurance on our end that we can provide what we say we can provide. So it is a lengthy process a lot of times to say, James Nichols, out of district placed child, can we meet his needs? That's a series of meetings. It's a series of conversations, observations, visits, review of our programming, our resources, our staff, and the capacity in-house. So the short answer, I think, is we're always looking at that. The long answer is it's just that it does take time, and it's a thoughtful and definitely careful process.
Yeah, and I will say it's something that we look at regularly as a team. And we have brought a good handful of kids back. It's just, you know, we can't control sometimes kids that move in and then.
Well, I don't even know if necessarily, and again, I'm certainly no expert. I mean, this guy makes tea bags, but I'm not necessarily advocating bringing people back who are ready. I'm wondering, if we're sending people out to $80,000 programs, are there things that we, services that we can offer in-house, much like our learning center that provides the same level of service, but it's cost effective. I'm not necessarily saying, hey, let's bring kids back. I'm just saying, you know, do we look at, okay, student A is getting this service and that costs X amount of dollars. Student B is getting this service. And, you know, we may be able to partner with Anzona or bring this person back and hire an in-house consultant. Like, I don't know. It wasn't just the bringing kids back. Yeah, it was analyzing the services that they're getting and seeing if we could offer that.
I think it comes down to space, open classrooms to be able to house another program, to be able to service other students in other districts in our current programs.
And I think also to the tune of thinking through the lens of what's best for the student, right? We have to operate in terms of that least restrictive environment, which is a conversation that we are constantly having. It's to say, is this the most appropriate environment for the child to get his or her education? And if the answer is no, not with Derby Public Schools, the question that I know Stacy asked, I most definitely ask it myself, is have we exhausted every opportunity to maintain the child's program here in house? Which is why we have programs that range from James Nichols sits in class seven periods a day to James Nichols is fully removed in a comprehensive learning center or a social emotional behavioral learning center, because that's the scope of program that exists with every other branch, every other related service or indirect service that we could offer. That out of district placement only happens when those options are satisfactorily checked off.
I understand. And again, I don't think there's any right or wrong answers. I would just say that to me, and again, there's no right or wrong answers. I would say that to me, a student is always better off in district rather than busing across the state. So to me, actually a no brainer, truthfully, but that's just from an environmental perspective, students always better, home base rather than busing them out. But I guess that's probably a philosophical discussion. We could have another point.
The thing is, I don't think, I'm not sure I caught everything you said, but as much as we would like to bring kids back and save money, obviously, these kids are under some kind of handicap to begin with. And my philosophy has always been, it's whatever is the best for the kid. If it's going to cost us more money to send the kid out because he's going to get a better education or have a better situation. I mean, I was at ACES for a long time. Laura's there now, but I was there for a long time, and they took us around to a lot of these places to show us what they did. I was representing Derby, and can we match what they do at someplace like ACES with some of the handicaps that these kids? We never should just bring a kid back to save money.
All right, and I agree with that.
Even if we hire a teacher, especially these kids that have these handicaps, if it's best for them to be in a special school, then that's the way it should be.
No, I don't disagree. Again, I would just say that I would ask that we always look into that. I think our learning center is the perfect example where our kids have been better off creating a program in-house. And
I will say that a lot of the programs that we did build in-house do mirror a lot of the services that some of the programs at ACES do represent. However, it's when that child's not being successful in our environment where they need a higher level is when we would have those conversations. But we have worked really hard to build a restrictive environment here in district that has a similar level of services to match the child's need.
The other, some of those pieces out of our control is when students transfer
into district, as you know. And as I shared last meeting, 210 students since September 1st. After our last meeting, after seeing that $746,000 deficit, that on the 24th, another students came into district. One of those—
Since we talked?
Yes.
Since we had that meeting?
Correct. So enrolled in Derby schools, but has been outplaced from the previous district due to the disabilities. But just that one student alone, just for the regular school year, not inclusive of summer and transportation, is $137,000, up and above the $746,000 that we already shared. So it's a very, our population is mobile, but that it makes that tough to budget in that area.
I fought for years to get that account put in that we now have, you know, and my personal feeling is that should be for special ed. It shouldn't be for anything else. We shouldn't be using it to offset a $900,000 deficit that we have. That money should be for special ed, which is what we, for years, that's what we told Boat we wanted it for. So just because they changed the law saying we could use that money for something else, we should. We should stay there and use it when we have problems like this. That's my personal opinion. I mean, we told them for years that we had problems with special ed because we, exactly for what you said, we got kids, more kids in after we made the budget.
Right.
You know, and that's what that money should be used for.
And when we talked to Robbie, the challenge, right, is the draft of the budget is done in fall, early winter. And we're talking about projections of not only our current students, but students we don't even know if we're programming for the following school year yet, either because those meetings haven't happened or because their eligibility hasn't been identified as a continuing student, or the additional students that move in or out of district or are placed out of district between November and June, which happened on multiple occasions last year since November 15th, right? So for us to hit that moving target is a tremendously difficult task in any sort of predictive or accurate way. I could give you a comfortable number to budget for, but that doesn't necessarily reflect the current need at this moment, right?
And so, you know, the sad part is when the city only gives you the MBR, you know, six years out of seven, you know, even if, you know, truthfully, even if we told the city, hey, we're anticipating getting eight more students in at 800,000 and the MBR is 19.2 million, that's, we're getting the MBR. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs, usually, but I appreciate the fact that you're having the discussion. That was my question. Thank you.
Of course.
All right. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. So do we know how, I know we have a great program, but do we know how our program compares to other towns or neighboring towns in our offerings?
Comparison in terms of what specifically, Melissa?
So are our neighboring towns sending their kids to ACEs versus because they can't manage them in-house? And is there an opportunity for us to monetize our program because ours are better than our neighboring towns and offering it to, I don't know, the Valley or whomever to send their kids to us? I know space is probably a potential issue, but just looking to see if we have a revenue stream here for ourselves.
I mean, it's definitely something that we can look into for planning purposes down the road. I know
are there other public schools that do that?
There is, Ansonia has an ACES program that they house.
They provide, Ansonia provides space for ACES to do what you're asking us to do.
Yeah.
So ACES monitors the program. They just use space in an Ansonia building to house their program.
And are there potentially grants out there, Robbie, I see your name there, that maybe could support us in getting something larger than we currently have? Because if we rely on the city to continue to fund us, and you're talking about how unpredictable our costs are, which I totally understand, you know, I feel like we need to start to try to figure this out ourselves.
You're thinking exactly correctly, Melissa. The current programs that we do have, those spaces were retrofitted using school improvement grant funds.
That's exactly where we got the funds. The city didn't provide those funds. So we got those through the state to renovate the spaces to then offer the programs. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have the in-house programs that we have today.
Well, this was a topic of discussion in the past, Melissa, for a Derby, in Shawnee, I think maybe another valley town to get together and put some kind of program like you're suggesting together.
That's but what ACES does.
Yeah.
We met with ACES.
Yeah.
And if we can find additional space, ACES would be more than happy to come in and run programs. But I think what you're saying is, can we run those programs?
Well, we have great leadership in this area. Yeah. They're obviously doing a great job. Why wouldn't we try to figure out how to let them grow it, especially if we can bring in some funding for ourselves based on this?
Yep.
Is this a committee? How do we make this at least get investigated?
Well, the first thing we can start doing is looking at additional space.
Well, I'm just asking a dumb question. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, do you need the program first, or do you need the space first?
Now, either way, you're expanding a current program or developing a new program. You're either partnering with ACES to do it, or you're doing it on your own. But the first thing you're going to need to do it in is space.
And dumb question: Does it have to be a city owned? I mean, does it have to be city owned building? Does it even have to be in Derby?
No, correct.
Adult education building still being used?
That's a good question. They have moved. You mean the one in Shelton?
No, the one in Derby.
Coon Hollow?
That's not there.
No. Not Coon Hollow.
I know what you mean.
Isn't that like up Olivia Street to the right? What's that for? Nobody knows what I mean.
So, Melissa, the senior, are you referring to the senior center, what we had talked about over the summer?
No, not the senior center. That's Elizabeth Street. I want to say, could it be the old Lincoln School? I'm dating myself at this point.
The old Lincoln School, Melissa, is senior housing.
No, there's an adult. There's a building that says adult education on it. Like, if you go up
tomorrow, I'll take a ride tomorrow.
Well,
I think Melissa, to your point,
yeah.
And thinking about ways in which to be creative, one of the things that we have discussed, and we even talked about it last week again, if you look closely at the breakdown on the cost, a lot of what we're paying for is not reflected in K-12. The bulk of that funding is looking at students that are in a transition-only program or students who are in an 18 to 21 program, meaning they are developing post-secondary skills, or they're working on true life skills, students that were participating in some sort of comprehensive program, either with us or at a district. And the team had decided that despite their earning of the high school diploma prerequisites, they still require and are entitled to support through IDEA through a transitional program. So that's something that we've talked at length about. We're getting into a flood.
And looked at the should the senior center have relocated. I had reached out to David Morgan at the time to see of the space in the building that team is in, how much might become available for running the transition program that James is talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Is state money available to start something like that? State money available? To start something?
Yeah, I'd have to look at the funding.
Because that would be expensive to, the initial funding would be probably very high.
Right. Yeah, there'd be a requirement for retrofitting the space initially to a school improvement grant. And then until you can then charge tuition to outside districts. Yeah. But you draft up a business model and go.
Well, definitely something we're open to discuss further with you guys and plan and look for opportunities. James and I are having these discussions with Doc and Robbie.
To Melissa's point, though, I do agree at some point it'd be helpful to talk to other communities too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know while on the cert, you know, I still think there are areas that we could regionalize or share services with that would be beneficial.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, I would still pursue a conversation with other towns as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have one other thing.
Yep.
Absolutely.
This counseling curriculum to the middle school, what is that? Is that for the teachers or?
The counseling curriculum?
Yeah.
So that's led by Brian Nutcher and Anat Siegel. They're counselors here in the building. The program is overseen by myself, Rachel, and partnered with Southern Connecticut with Dr. Yavuz, who has worked and consulted with the high school as well. So in meeting with him, we're one of the few middle schools in the area, or in the state really, that's implementing this sort of curriculum. I'm happy to send everybody the outline of what the curriculum focuses on, academically, social, emotionally.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Career-wise. Yeah.
And just a quick refresh. So Dr. Yavuz presented here a couple of years ago when we were the first high school in the state to implement and be the pilot program for the new comprehensive program that by state law now all high schools have to implement. He reached out this year to inquire if our middle school would be interested in developing the first middle school comprehensive counseling program. So we obviously it had already had a great partnership with them, and we moved forward on that.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Great discussion. Ms. Capiello, raise the cat.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? So this past month in Raise Academy, we actually started our cross-curricular projects across all of the core classes, so English, science, history, and math. It was kind of a cool collaboration where we were able to use the advisory teacher collaboration time in order to plan for this project. So we've been working through that. Teachers have met three times, and they'll continue to work together until the end of the projects, where they'll get back together and evaluate the wins and the losses. But we get together regularly trying to talk through things. At the last meeting, it was asked kind of like where the numbers came from for Raise Academy. So I pulled that together. We had 11 students start the year in Raise Academy. That was from the past year. We had two students move up from the middle school. We had four students move into the district, and then we had two students move in from Derby High School.
Those are included in the 11?
Including, yep. So we are at 19 right now. Okay. Or 18, sorry, 18. There was, we have 18 right now. So we are at 90% capacity for the program. We have partnered with Effective School Solutions, which I've mentioned last time. This past month, we had five teachers and six support staff trained in attuned trauma, attuned model training. And then we also will have a visit from that person that we've been working with on Thursday, who comes in and observes our teachers, provides feedback, and then we do a whole group PD on how to move forward with that select group of students. Are there any questions?
Questions?
Were the four who moved into the district, did they start in the school at all?
They did not.
They came right to Raise?
Yes.
Based on
their previous program from different districts.
Do we still have the onboarding process that it always is? So when a student moves in, or if a student is recommended to be in Raise Academy, how does that work?
Yep. So we are currently looking at a more decisive entrance criteria. However, based on the students that moved into the district recently, that was based on their previous programming from other schools. So what were they currently in? Were they in smaller classes? Were they in a smaller student to a teacher ratio? Were there special services offered? So that's where the team kind of during that planning process said, hey, I think this would be a good place for you to start.
And you're part of that process.
Yes. Yep.
and then
a situation where, hey, we're moving this person to Rays without you being on board or buying into it.
No. Nope. Usually it's a team decision. So even if the student isn't on board, the student voice is really important. If they're not going to buy into the program and they don't want to, we do try to allow that student some flexibility and like, okay, you can try it out in the high school and then we can always reconvene and see if that placement was appropriate at the time. And if not, we can move you into Race Academy.
And I only ask because, you know, years ago, it took years to shift away from the thought process that race was a punishment.
Right.
And it took us years to move away from that. It should never be looked at as punishment. We look at it what it is. So I know that we spent a lot of work ensuring that people just didn't get moved in there
mm-hmm.
without a criteria, without the coordinator having a role, having a voice. So just jogging my memory when I heard four people moved in. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. And so if other students, if they're already in the high school, there is currently criteria in place where it's based on their grades, their behavior, log entries, parent communication, student communication. So it's not just a very quick decision. It's a very thoughtful process that we go through to see if it would be appropriate placement for all the students.
Questions? All righty. Thank you, Jackie. Jen Olson. Right. Oh.
All right. So I've got a couple of things that I wanted to highlight that's been happening around Jerby High School. We've received some recognition from the State Department of Education about the work of our counselors right now through helping students prepare for their post-secondary next steps in the FAFSA challenge that we are participating in. I'm going to give you a comparison example, Jerby High School versus Jerby High School. Last year, from September to March, was really when the change happened. But from September to March, we had about 3% of our students who had completed their financial aid application by that time. And if you recall, we had already had Instant Decision Week, we had already had college fairs, we had senior meetings, but getting that FAFSA completed and becoming eligible for a financial aid package from a school that you've been accepted to, we only had 3% of our kids that finished it. I included a graph that was rolled out. There's a weekly report that's being generated by the state. In the first 2 weeks, Jerby High School was actually ranked number one in the top 20 schools in the state for having the completion rate of, at that time, we were at 19%. 4 weeks later, right now, we're at 32.7%. So in comparison to March, all the way to March of last year, that cohort of kids, we only had 3% complete it. Right now, we already have 32.7%. The state right now, average completion rate is hovering around 17%. So we are really making some great progress there. And I think that it really just speaks to the amount of work that's being put in of really working with students one-on-one and with their families to help plan for what life will look like for them after Jerby High School. So we're pretty proud of that.
It just continually blows me away.
I know.
I mean, again, we're awesome. Both, I mean, 19.3 is phenomenal.
No, we're 32. We blew away that. We're at 32.7 right now.
I mean, that is phenomenal.
Well, they do it, but they do it late, Jim. And what happens is the problem is money starts to dry up and they aren't eligible for as many opportunities. So, you know, being able to afford college and know that there's a realistic plan for how to be able to fund it can help open kids' eyes that maybe college really is an option for me. And that's why we're participating in this challenge. The state also called the team out for some innovative practices. We are one of four schools that were highlighted just in the network and that we're working with. So we are pretty proud about that. And you know, our post-secondary planning is really a top priority right now. It's starting in ninth grade and moving all the way up. We have a focus on getting kids exposed to post-secondary planning, exploring potential pathways for themselves and exploring interests, whether it be, leading to a college degree, a certificate, or some kind of technical programming. But we are really working hard for that. The other thing that I wanted to be able to kind of shift gears talking about is some of our, you know, programming that we've been doing with our students. We've really worked hard to get kids out of the school building. During the pandemic, you know, kids had been on Zoom and behind computers and really didn't get a chance to experience the world. And so when you start thinking about what am I going to do with my life after high school, if you haven't seen a lot of what opportunities are out there, it's kind of sometimes hard to make those decisions. Our teachers are doing really nice jobs at planning really meaningful trips. We've been, our journalism class was part of the high school, the 37th annual High School Journalism Day at Southern Connecticut State University. Our manufacturing students are getting a chance to pop up at Housatonic Community College and at the Advanced Manufacturing Annual Celebration. We've been to the British Arts Museum. Our Italian Honor Society has been over here to the middle school to partner with those students. Mr. Coplin took a group of young men to the Connecticut Association of Schools Men of Color in Leadership Conference. And then we've been to the New Haven Reads Program, one of our learning centers, and had a chance for kids to be able to explore books and be able to build their own at-home library. So we think it's important to get kids a chance to kind of see and interact with other professionals and other students. And we're really excited about that. The last thing that I just
about the real quick but while you're on it about the Men of Color and Leadership Conference.
Yes.
Can we partner with? I noticed that was on Rachel's as well.
Yeah.
So is that, can we partner?
Connecticut
now?
Association of Schools put that out there, and Rachel and I worked together to put a bus trip together. We were very lucky. You were only supposed to bring 10 students per school. That was the invite. Ray and I both agreed that we were going to sign up. A little miscommunication between the two of us. I signed 10 up for him. He signed 10 up for us. And then we realized we had 20 spots, and they were gracious enough to allow us to bring 20. So we got to, we brought 20. The middle school brought 10. So we had 30 students represented.
I have to be honest. If you even mentioned how, you know, Mario mentioned Holly Smith and Miss Hill.
Yeah.
And I think that partnership is phenomenal. I don't think we talk about that, but that's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, it helps with funding as well. So when you can split a bus and, you know, if you're going to the same place, doing the same things, that we can be able to partner in those. The last thing that I just want to highlight, you know, we've done a lot about getting kids out, but we've also looked to bring people in. And so we've planned a year-long series of multicultural programming. Our most recent one, Allie had mentioned, our little friends from LRU joined us, but Poetry in Motion, it actually is a really rich cultural perspective. It provides a history of hip-hop and the genres that have really influenced hip hop. So it goes all the way back to the Chinese, you know, in ancient times, and kind of builds. So it brings there's a lot of geography, there's a lot of history, and then obviously the relevance of music. Our kids really loved it. And then we also had a motivational speaker with the Cheeseburger Chainsaw and Rock and Roll. So, you know, I think it's important to get kids hearing, seeing, exploring, and that's what I want to highlight this month.
Good stuff. And I do notice all the little trips. That's cool.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Any questions? All righty. Batting cleanup. Todd Griffin.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening.
So athletics, first off, just wanted to share, we found out middle of October that our athletic program for the 21-22 academic year was recognized by the CIAC as a Michael's Cup Exemplary Program recipient. So we're excited about that. The last time we got that was 2017-2018, which was Rachel Caggiano's last year as athletic director.
She set a high bar.
She did. Yep. As you know, on our long range plan for athletics, that's the number one thing on our thing. That program kind of sets the template and the bar for all the things that we want our coaches, our student athletes, our families, and just even within the school building, what we want to work towards. So that was a nice surprise after a year one and some of the things that we had to work through. And I think some of the challenges and the resilience and grit that our coaches and our kids and our parents exhibited last year actually played into getting that honor. So
grit.
I did. So that award's going to be presented on Thursday, November 17th, up at the AquaTurf during the CIAC Sportsmanship Summit. We'll be bringing, so that's actually almost like a workshop for student athletes as well. There's typically about 800 student athletes and the majority of the schools in CIAC represented there. And there'll be a number of schools. I thought by this time we might have a press release from the CIAC to see, but I know, I believe last year there was maybe 20 schools in the entire CIAC that were recognized. So when we get that information, definitely can share it with you. Just quickly too, so we hit on that for you, the Sportsmanship Summit plans to bring 17 student athletes to that. In terms of just human capital and even operations stuff, this is the time of year where we're starting to wind down a little bit with our fall sports. So that kind of operational component evaluation of programs, we're starting that process. End of season evaluations have gone out multiple times at this point to student athletes and their families as well. Also, just a couple things under culture and climate. Our next Derby Sports Alliance meeting is this coming Monday. That meeting, we've invited all the head coaches from the high school and the middle school to meet with the leaders there as well to talk about kind of next thing, where our programs are, what we aspire to be, and how we can work with each other to not only just help the school programming, but how can we help the youth and grassroots programming at the recreational level as well. And then another thing, Unified Sports is going to be going to a unified dance at Oxford High School this coming month in November, which will be cool with our new coaches, Kaylee Hyde and Carlin Ali. Powder Puff is game on with Shelton November 18th at 6 o'clock at DeFilippo Field. We'll be hosting that as well. So those are kind of the highlights I have. And if you have any questions, happy to address them.
Ready for our, again, yeah, you go first.
I've been at a number of
thank you. Thanks. No, I'll definitely pass that along because I've been asked that question by some what I'll call Derby veterans, and they want, their first question is how many kids have you lost? And I can look them in the eye. We've lost none. The culture is amazing. We're building something special.
I agree 100%.
Thanks.
Maybe team won their first game
a week ago. 2 weeks. Yeah, they were up at St. Paul. They got a W there. Those guys have been competing. Those have all been close games. They've been close. The defense is really doing well. So.
We'll be okay in the future. I believe that.
Thanks.
So I'm going to buy Ken breakfast on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're having a breakfast. Are you doing
it? Yes. Yep.
We are doing the breakfast again.
Yes.
Yep.
Oxford.
They may or may not be joining us.
Really?
Yeah.
Good night. Busy.
Really?
Oxford is not coming.
To the game they are. To the game they are. They were invited to the breakfast, but.
Who was invited to the breakfast?
We contacted initially the AD and then the superintendent. And the superintendent went back to his AD, came back to me 4 days later and said,
I know two people that are board members.
Not interested in participating. So
my son-in-law.
I don't even think the board knows.
All right, look,
if you wouldn't mind, if you could reach out.
My son-in-law is on the board for Oxford Public Schools.
Because the city's invited as well, and I don't think they know. Either
I'll
talk to the assistant superintendent.
There you go. It's fascinating to me. What'd you do to the guy, Doc?
No, he's part of our, you know, valley.
Maybe he's not.
Doc cut him off at the CAPS meeting one day.
Did you talk to him?
I talked to the soup who talked to his AD. He got back to me and said the AD did not.
We want
to
show.
Wasn't interested in participating.
Who's the boss?
Superintendent.
Hey, who's the boss? You or Doc?
Who's the boss?
Yeah, Doc, right? Who's the boss? The super. He's a new guy, right?
A fairly new.
He's a new guy.
Yeah. But I, reach out to the board member, that would be helpful.
Would be those ones situation where you say, hey, we're going? We're going, sorry. Anyway, all right. Thanks. Any questions for Tech?
I do want to send invites anyway.
We should.
I think we're the only school.
Any questions for Tech? All righty, folks. I'm going to just say one thing here. skip
a little bit. Yes. Folks, I just want to get your opinion on something. I grossly miscalculated the agenda this evening. I had tried to think that we would, the first half would take an hour and we would save an hour for the evaluation, and that I didn't anticipate the meeting ending until 8:30. So unless there's objection, we could do the evaluation at the 14th, 15th.
Really?
Or I'll pick a different night. I mean, I think we're here for an hour.
We're going to run into the same problem.
What? I'll just do a better job. I'll just do a better job with the agenda. They asked me
to. On a separate night.
Yeah. All right. I'll schedule a separate night. Okay. Thank you. So, I'll schedule. I mean, we'll be here at 9:30. That's it. I mean, I don't care about. I just don't think we'll be at our best. I'm going to schedule a separate night for the evaluation. I'll get in touch with everybody.
One more?
Is everybody okay with that? Schedule a separate night for the evaluation?
Yes.
Separate night for the evaluation. Okay.
Yeah. See you guys.
Good night. Alrighty, so
George, we're going to do this officially.
Or if you wait a couple of months, we can do 2 years at once.
Yeah.
So,
that was a jab.
So,
yeah. I'm
going to leave it to me. So, we're going to. You ready?
When are we going to do it? When are we going to have. Evaluate.
Let's pick a night right now.
Good night.
I'll do it tonight if you guys want.
Before Thanksgiving or after?
Let's do it Thursday night at November 17th at 6 p.m. at the Mystic Marriott.
So weird. Thanksgiving's the 24th. How about the 28th?
Monday night. Okay, I won't be here because
29th.
Works 12 hours.
29th.
Tuesday.
12 hours.
That's fine.
29th.
Tentative policy meeting that night.
What time?
5:30.
Okay.
So after policy at 6:30.
6:30 the 29th. Superintendent evaluation. Only topic.
6:30 the 29th?
Yes.
Doc, is that okay?
Good. There you go. All done.
Got to make sure Doc's here. That's what I just asked Doc if he was okay.
6:30.
Yeah, you know.
I know we've moved this poor meeting.
And so Doc's due for the next one. We just roll it over.
Now, I have a stupid question.
Well, 10. We were going to give him 10% this year anyways, aren't we?
Oh,
my God.
Going
my heart.
The convention on the 18th. Are we moving BOE from the 17th?
It is on the 15th. We already
on the 15th. We already changed it.
That's a death.
I told you I'm asking a stupid question.
That's a definite. The 15th.
She's 15.
Just so busy. I didn't change it in my calendar.
And is everybody going? Everyone's going.
No, I'm not going.
Oh.
I just said I'm asking a stupid question. You weren't listening.
When do you guys know?
I live by my calendar, people.
Wow, you're old. You're good.
And then I got
on the 18th.
17th. Yeah.
Oh, you're going Thursday. I got to go to the 18th. I'm going on the 18th. Okay. All righty. So, Melissa, you want to do your job? You want to do your work then?
Sure. Wait,
what? Wait first.
Oh, we got a table load?
I know.
We got a table load. So, the motion to table item 11, I'll do it separately. The executive session, discuss the superintendent's evaluation and make a motion to table it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion passes. Item number 12, the superintendent's evaluation. Make a motion to post that to a later date.
Motion made. Second. Second, Dan.
And now.
Aye.
Oh, okay, he wants to.
You want to set that? Right.
Set a later date. Maybe you want to.
Later date on November 29th at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, motion is made.
Second.
Second. I'm sorry, Dan made the second.
Oh, Dan made that second.
But, and again, I know Ken's teasing the joke. I mean, Doc has had his evaluation. I mean, he's had it for a month and a half. I mean, he has read it. He knows what we said. He knows what's great. So, but that is fair. That's fair. I should do better. Okay, I accept that. Okay, so that motion was seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Melissa Cannata.
Motion to adjourn this meeting.
The 15th.
Yes, the eyes too bad.
Motion to adjourn. Second. George, we're adjourned.
That's the first time my battery ran out. because the meeting was so long.
I didn't expect that at all, Pam.
You know how we said we're going to have that meeting?